welcome to our weekly broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. We are continuing our series called Hard Questions, Solid Answers. This is a series of questions you have asked Pastor Dave throughout his years of ministry. Today's teaching is a continuation of the topic on homosexuality. So let's listen in now as Pastor Dave continues answering this hard question with a solid answer.
Now when it's talking about proper behavior between believers and we shouldn't be suing anybody, it's not a great witness and things like that, he goes on to say in verse 7, "Now therefore it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated?" And so he's speaking the attitude of the heart. And then he says, "Now you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren." He says, "Now, do you not know that the unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of God?" If this is your livelihood that you're going to do and you're bound and determined, this is just the way I'm going to be. I'm going to be a cheat. I'm going to be a liar. I'm going to be a thief. This is just the way I'm going to run my life. Paul warns him. He says, "Do you not know that the unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do you not be deceived, neither fornicators." That is any kind of sex outside of the marriage relationship is fornication. "Nor idolaters. Nor adulterers," sleeping with married people. "Nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." Now, it's interesting to me because the word homosexuals here isn't really homosexuals. It is, but there's a different bent to it. The word homosexuals here is a word that is actually a Greek word that means a catamite. A catamite is a person who is soft and effeminate, and what it really means is a man having sex with a boy, is what that means. And so homosexual advocates will say that is speaking of pushing yourself on a person. It's not consensual sex, so yeah, we agree that would be wrong. So okay, that's fine. But the next word, sodomite, is the word for homosexuality. Okay, the word sodomite is arsenoketos, and it means an abuser of themselves with mankind. Now, the question is, why should we believe that the Apostle Paul, when he used the term arsenoketes, has same-sex behavior in mind? Well, because Paul is a Pharisee of the Pharisee. He knows Hebrews backwards and forwards and would have had in his hands the teachings of the Jews and Gentiles. He would also have in his hands the Septuagint. The Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Old Testament that's in Hebrew. The reason why that would have been needed back in the day is because after Alexander the Great took over, that culture influenced the whole world. Even the Romans who come after him spoke Greek. And it became the language of the nations. Everything was Hellenized. Greek culture was influencing everything. So much so that even the Hebrews themselves, the Jews themselves, the majority of them now only spoke Greek. They couldn't even read their own religious writings. They could not even read the Old Testament because they only spoke Greek. And because of that, they decided around 250 to 300 BC, hey, let's translate the Old Testament in the Hebrew into the Greek so our people can understand what it is that we're saying. And that's the Septuagint. So they took the Old Testament and translated it into the Greek. Septa means 70. 70 Jewish scholars did this, or 72, depend on your take. And so they did this. And so now you have the Septuagint. Now here's the interesting thing. There are things said in the Old Testament, in Leviticus 18:22, Leviticus 20:13, that is now being translated into the Greek. So we're going to see what a male who lies with another male is going to say in the Greek by way of the Old Testament. So now we have a word that we can describe something if we want to describe same-sex relationship in the New Testament. And does it line up? Well, show us slide 2 here. Leviticus 18:22. says right there, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. And down below it is the Septuagint right there. And then you have Leviticus 20, 13 through 14. If a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. There's a Septuagint down below there in the Greek. In the Greek there, you're going to be able to see there that there is a word for male. I want you to go to the next slide. The word for male is right there, is the Greek word. It's arsenos. The word to lie sexually is koiton in Leviticus. Those are the Greek words of translation from Hebrew. The term sodomite in 1 Corinthians 6:10 and 1 Timothy 1:10 is a combination of these Greek words, arsenos and koiton. And that's how you get arson oketos. So what is Paul trying to say? He's trying to say what is being said back then in Leviticus. If that is going on today, and it was at his time, he says, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Same-sex relationship, just like it said in the book of Leviticus. So, I want you to continue on there in verse 11. Look what it says. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Did you catch that? You know, I was born this way. You can't change. God says you can. And Paul says, of all these people that aren't going to inherit the kingdom, thieves, adulterers, fornicators. I mean, he goes after them. It's the sexually deviant, the ones that aren't walking the ways of homosexuals and sodomites. And then he goes, and such were some of you. See, if you do a study of the Corinthian culture, you know that sexual practice was just wild with anything and everything. And so he's saying, and then the word of God came, and guess what? It changed you. It says right there that you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. What it's saying is that a transition has taken place. They have been washed, showing that their previous activities were sinful and required cleansing. They were sanctified, showing that their previous acts had been unholy. They have been justified, showing that their previous deeds placed them under the wrath of God and made them guilty before God. But now by faith in Christ, they have been changed so that they could now look back upon a lifestyle that was no longer theirs. Praise God. For any other person who considers themselves a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you preach that it's okay to practice and be a homosexual and be a Christian at the same time, you are robbing them. You are robbing those people of the hope that we have in this passage in 1 Corinthians 6:11. That is a hope. That is a hope. About 5 years ago, I was at a pastor's conference somewhere. I can't even remember where it is. But we were with pastors of different denominations. And I don't know how even we got on the subject, but he was just talking to me about a hard time this really infiltrated his church. And after studying the scriptures, he's just going, you know, I just have come to the place where, you know, if you were born a homosexual, there's not a whole lot you can do about it. And I said, let me show you something. And I showed him that, and he said he'd never seen that before. And I said, well, now you know. Inside I was going, do you really think you should be a minister? You didn't know that before? Did you ever read 1 Corinthians chapter 6? What? Wow. Could you not? How do you come to that conclusion? This is what happens when you listen more to the world, read other things other than the Word of God, as opposed to reading the Word of God. Those other things are going to influence you. But when you're reading the Word of God, it really does have answers to everything. Everything. And such were some of you, but now they're changed. They're changed. And I praise God for that. The truth is very clear. If you repent of any sinful lifestyle, then God is going to change you. He's going to wash you. He's going to set you apart. It's going to be a progression. It doesn't mean that you become super Christian overnight and don't have that thought you're not supposed to have and that you don't. No. But it means that the Holy Spirit is now there and he will convict you and you go, oh, you're right. Lord, I'm sorry. And that's progress. And it gets you to the place of being justified. Now, a couple of side notes when I look at the Word of God. Many, many, many marriages are found in the Bible, and every time they are, it's a man and a wife. Every time. Every time. Not one homosexual marriage in the Word of God. The Bible tells us that children are to have parents, and in the Bible, parents are called mother and father. That's what they're called. When God had his son Jesus enter the world, it was under the covenant of a marriage between a man and a wife. If he wanted us to think that that was okay, all he had to do is just show a couple in here. I'm going to show you how okay it is. I'm going to send my son under Mary and Elizabeth. Those are the two that are going to raise my son. God doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. Every instance of marriage in the Bible is heterosexual because no homosexual union can be considered marriage, according to God's word. According to God's word. The Lord Jesus refers to marriage as that what occurs between a man and a woman, as we saw that in Matthew 19. Now, I've heard the objection, but I was born this way. I don't argue that. I don't. And the reason why I don't argue that, Dave, I was predisposed this way. I have this propensity to go after same-sex attraction. Okay, there's no argument with me from that. Okay, so don't try and come to me with that argument. It means nothing. Because we're in a sinful, fallen world, every single one of us are born with not just one, but many propensities in which to sin. And yours just happens to be born out in the way of that, of same-sex attraction. I get that. And it doesn't wig me out. Okay? It doesn't wig me out at all. But I would like to be able to come alongside of you just like I do with anyone, as people have done with me in my propensity to sin, and see how we can have victory in the person of Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus himself said, look, if you want to follow me, you need to deny yourself daily. Pick up the cross and follow me. What God is requiring you to do is to lay down that propensity, that natural inclination that you have to sin against what the Word of God says. Every single one of us has to do that. It could be pornography. It could be lust. It could be just your judgmental attitude, your self-righteous attitude, your cocky, prideful attitude. If you don't know what it is, just ask your really good friends. And if you're married, just ask your spouse.
I really don't know what my issue is.
Really? Just let me talk to some of your friends. Let me just talk to your spouse. And I'll get back to you. I really will. You know, it's obvious. And it's hard. But that's what it is to when God himself says you need to trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. But I feel this way. You're leaning on your own understanding. And you're supposed to trust in the Lord. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. How do you acknowledge him? By not doing what you want to do, and instead laying that down, letting God crucify that with Christ, and doing what the Word of God says to do. And as you do that, guess what? He changes you. He changes you. There's so many people that are filled with this addiction or that addiction, and then as they begin to walk with Christ, it's not so that addiction is gone to where you'll never, ever feel tempted in that at all. If you ever come to that place, I guarantee you that next second you'll be tempted that way and you'll fall. But you recognize it more. You have more victory walking. You understand that about you. And because of that, you put up the hedges that you need to make sure that your walk is worthy of Christ. I'm going to read to you about a particular lifestyle. Here's the results of a particular lifestyle. 5 to 10 year decrease in life expectancy with the lifestyle I'm about to tell you here. Chronic potential fatal liver disease, hepatitis. Inevitable fatal esophagus cancer, pneumonia, internal bleeding, serious mental disabilities, many which are not reversible. Much higher risk of suicide, a very low likelihood that these effects can be eliminated unless the condition itself is eliminated. This lifestyle I'm talking about is alcoholism. It's alcoholism. Knowing the consequences of this lifestyle, could you in good conscience tolerate this lifestyle in someone you love? If you can, you're not very loving, if you ask me. Because it's not a good lifestyle. It's not best for them, medically speaking. It's just not good. You're cutting 5 to 10 years off your life, sometimes more. And during that lifetime, not only are you cutting your lifespan down, you are going to suffer serious medical problems because of that lifestyle. Now, in regards to a homosexual lifestyle, here are the following consequences. A 20-year decrease of life expectancy. Chronic potential fatal liver disease, infectious hepatitis, with increased the risk of liver cancer. Inevitable fatal immune disease, including associated cancers. Frequently fatal rectal cancer. Multiple bowel and other infectious diseases. A much higher suicide rate. A low likelihood that these conditions can be eliminated unless the practice is eliminated. Those are the consequences of this lifestyle. It's a scientific fact that homosexuality is a very unhealthy lifestyle, medically speaking. And so when I or someone else speaks out in love and say, this is not God's way for you, this is not the best thing for you, that is not being hateful. That is being responsible. And that's also being loving. And that's also making the truth known. Do I not have the right and duty to point out to my fellow man those things that will destroy them? I think yes, once I get to know them. Okay? When you build that relationship, when there's a safety there, that when you come to them in concern, you don't just go up to someone you don't know that's drinking a beer and say, enjoy that, that might be the last one you have. Yeah, who does that? Not somebody who's loving, you know? God will give you those opportunities. There has to be a safety there where someone can see how much that you care about them. The Bible tells us that God gives us these, in a sense, rules of how to live our life, and it's for our own good. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24, it says, "And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, for you to believe in God, for you to submit yourself to the person of God and all that he has for you in his word is the best thing for you. It's for your good always, not sometimes. Always." In Deuteronomy chapter 10, it says, "And now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep his commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good." It's the best thing for you. God made you. He knows what's best for you. And it will be for your good. So when we go through God's word, does God's word say it's okay to practice same-sex relationships? The answer is no. He says not to. Has he spoken against that practice? Yes. So how do we treat those that are in that environment? Like you treat anybody else that doesn't know the Lord. Love. You love them. You exhort them. You encourage them. You befriend them, not to try and sway them, but you just do because that's what a loving neighbor does. I love my neighbor as myself. And as I do that, what you exude is the person of Jesus Christ. And they will just notice you care. There's something different. I know you're a Christian. Okay, well, I'm not saying anything. I want to help you out. You're sick. I'm just, you know, bringing you some food, whatever it is. Hey, you're moving. Yeah, I'll help you move. You know, things like that. I'm just here to help. And me helping you doesn't mean that I celebrate your position in life of what it is that you're participating in, just to let you know that I'm a friend, I'm a neighbor. And God will open those doors for them to come to you and just say, look, you know I'm gay, and I participate this way. But you're so kind, you're so loving and this and that. Can we actually talk about this issue without, you know, messing around with our friendship that our friendship won't? Absolutely, I can do that. The question is, can you do that? You know, I don't even mind if you get mad at me for a time, walk off and then come back later on. I'm good with that, okay? But we should be able to talk about issues. I don't care what the issue is. It seems to me, I know we can't really pass this law, but it would be a great law to have. It's the law of discussion. It's the law of the arena of ideas. Whether it's evolution or creationism, whether it's Republican or Democrat, as soon as you raise your voice, $100 fine. Soon as you say something degrading, $100 fine. And it goes to the other party. So now we have, whoa, we better be civil. Yes, we should. And then all of a sudden we discuss things without demonizing the other party. And voices get escalated and things get thrown this way and that way, and it's an absolute mess. And yet we want freedom of speech. You can say whatever you want, just be civil. You can say you don't have to, I don't agree. But you don't have to say, I don't agree with that butthead. You don't have to say that, okay? And these are the things that we should be able to discuss. Let's just talk about it. You know? But we get so angry that the dialogue goes away and we're just demonizing one after another, and it does absolutely no good. And whoever outshouts and whoever brings more fear about the other person seems to win in our elections, when it comes to the issues. And if I show enough emotion and anger over what could possibly happen, people go, whoa, we better not do that then. But there's no intelligence behind it. There's no thought behind it. And there's no communication in it. And we've just come down to where we just rant. And it shouldn't be so. It shouldn't be so. So with this issue, it's just an issue. And let's talk about it. And let's try and see where the other person is coming from. And understand that I have a Christian worldview, that understand that I believe the Word of God. My biggest issue with those who say they believe in the Word of God and are on the other side of this. I want to say, convince me by the Word of God, because I believe I have the Word of God, and if I don't, then show me. I've often said to people, if you were wrong, would you want to know? And they turn, well, if you were wrong, would you want to know? And I go, yeah. Go ahead. You're an atheist. You don't believe that the Bible is true. Okay, try and convince me. I'm open. You know, and then when they're done, I'm not mad. But then just let me share why I believe. That's all we're asking. But we live in a fallen world, so I don't really expect that to happen. But if you vote for me, no. We will worship and adore you forevermore.
Thanks for spending part of your Tuesday with us on Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love. We'll be back tomorrow as we continue our series, Hard Questions, Solid Answers. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Childcare is available during all our weekend services. You can also join us for a barbecue and Bible study on Wednesdays at Rhyolite Park, located right here in Castle Rock. The barbecue will begin at 5:30 and then worship and the Word will begin at 6:45. Please be sure to bring a side dish to share. And for young adults, our Arise ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. Thank you for tuning in to this radio station today. Until our next time together, we want to encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.